All right, welcome to the Cultivate Church Planting Podcast, and I'm here with some awesome people that I've actually just met, but my friend Jeff Geip, who many of you know from listening to the podcast, have known for many, many years. They're Tim and Talisa Rogers, and they're little did I know that they're famous missionaries, and they have been on the mission field for
23 years now.
23 years?
Yes.
All right. That's a long time.
Little bit. Yeah. 11 of those years were in Brazil, and now it's a little bit over 11 in the current country that we're in.
Right. Okay. Now. So you might hear a little bit of background noise if you're listening to this, and that's because we are at a conference in India.
And yeah. I gave all the kids candy.
Talisa gave all the kids candy. So why did you do it right before we started recording? She's like, come on, let's go. Let's record.
I wanted them to like me.
I know. Yeah, that's the way it works. Whenever we lived in Africa, you would go into a village or something like that, there'd be all the kids around. Yep. And usually there was a lot of missionaries there, and a lot of Mazungus. We called the foreigners white skin Mazungus. Mm-hmm. So all the kids would run up, Mazungu, Mazungu. And we knew exactly what they wanted. Sweetie, sweetie. Pull out the candy. It's go time.
Awesome. Yeah,
I was like a mean, grumpy pastor, though, especially after living there for a long time. But
after a while, you're like, let the little children go to Jesus.
Exactly. Let the little kids go to Jesus, not me. All right. And I asked them to be on the podcast just to share a little bit about their story. And they can't go into too much detail about some things of their ministry just because they're in a country that is difficult to share everything. But I wanted to share as much as they can. And obviously to let people get connected to you guys, to get the rest of the story and to connect with you personally. So let's start off with your country of origin is the United States.
That's right.
But where was the first place that you ministered?
The first place out of the country?
Yeah. Yeah. First mission field.
The first place we went out as a family was in 2000 to Brazil, and went down to São Vicente, and we were privileged to just share the gospel with people in the streets and come with a team from Corvallis and other places and see many people come to know Christ and get discipled and do first Calvary Chapel church plant, if you will, there in São Vicente, Brazil. Nice.
How long were you there in Brazil total?
Totally 11, total 11 years. And yes, São Paulo area, we were there. And really the churches that are established now, though we were really like a part of like two or three church plants connected to us being there. But the main guys that are there in certain locations, like in Rio, Curitiba, and also in Campo Mourão, they're also from that original fellowship.
Okay.
So maybe—
What year was that?
The year that we started?
Yeah.
2000.
Oh, wow. Y2K.
Yeah. 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 So we were—
Missler was wrong.
So we were just serving. So just young guys, in some were translators and some were helping with music or the projector, like mm-hmm. Diego that became a pastor in Campo Brown. John Wayne also discipled him, and also he got turned over the fellowship there to Diego.
Okay.
But Diego was Diego, and also Kaká, who's in Curitiba, they were originally from the fellowship that we started in São Vicente.
Alexandre.
And Alexandre's in Rio de Janeiro. And so was the first convert, actually, that came to Christ. And so, yeah, it's just neat. And there's a lot of other fellowships there. I don't know all of the brothers there now, but
you've been out for how many years? You've been gone for—
We've been gone. Last time we were there were 7 years ago. Was it 7 years ago?
Yeah.
But we left. It's been about more than 12 years.
We're trying to get back.
Back this season, because we love Brazil. I mean, we walked. It's like walked and seen the Lord do things. And, you know, like we heard in the study today, it's like we're not the savior of Brazil, but we just love the people
study
there.
In Jonah.
Yeah, we just love the people there. We love to see God working among the people.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're, you know, not to segue into the place we're at now, but it's like we're seeing the same things, but it's just kind of done in a different way.
Okay. You know? Yeah, that's interesting, because Brazil is is very open to Christianity.
Yes. Like
Christianity is very popular there. And so you planted two churches there.
Yeah, we were part of seeing three fellowships, you know, You know, one of my brothers would say that church planting is just saying that you have the gift of leaving. So not to do a pushback on the church planting thing here, but no, it's like, but it's like, it's the thought of just, Lord, this is where I'm at. And can this person do a better job than I can in this, in being here? And so yeah. It really, the first one with Salvacinchi was that feel of like, hey, if I stay longer, it's really going to be detrimental to the fellowship.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree with that. Yeah, that's a great, and we did the same thing out of Uganda and so forth, but you're never the last pastor at the church unless the church is going to die with you, right. You know? It's, so right. It's always, there's someone else coming up.
Yeah. And so we feel like grandparents and all of just different people now. Yeah. And, you know, maybe some of the things we look back on, like maybe I shouldn't have like severed myself so quickly and just started our new thing.
Yeah.
We cut out Facebook, we cut out everything else because we're going to this kind of closed country. Uh-huh. And I remember Brian Burdison telling me that, hey, you know, you're kind of like in the spotlight now and you're going into a place that you're kind of hidden. Like, are you going to be okay with that? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I guess I don't know, but it's it has been kind of like that kind of feel in a way.
It's interesting because we just did an episode with the brothers that are here, the pastors that are leading this movement here in India. And I was the same question I had for them. Yes. Like, you guys are, you know, especially for them, we're not able to kind of show who they are and really where they are and what they're doing because, and they're not getting recognition from us. Mm. But I said, the Lord recognizes you. And when we get to heaven, we're going to have a big processional. You guys will be leading the way. And that's the rest of us that are just out in the spotlight all the time, for better or for worse. I don't know if I'm, you know, that person, but we'll be cheering you on when we get there.
Amen.
In heaven, we're going to be in heaven a lot longer than we're going to be on earth.
That's right.
So you're building up the treasures in heaven. Talisa, what did you prefer, the ministry that you were at then or the one that you're in now?
Well, it's interesting because I do believe that God provides open doors for us into these places.
Yeah.
But there is a part of our obedience, like Tim, when we were talking about earlier today, that there's a part of our obedience that's necessary for the miracle to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So to Brazil, I was 7.5 months pregnant.
Ooh.
So
yeah, we'd never been to Brazil before.
we
went there.
Did everybody say to you, you can't go to Brazil, you're pregnant?
Yeah.
Yes. Or like, and she said what?
No, I just told somebody, I'm pretty sure there was a lot of babies born in Brazil last year. But
you know what's funny? That's the same conversation that we had, because I shared my testimony that my wife was pregnant when we moved to Uganda.
Yeah.
And people were like, you can't go to Uganda. And I said, you know, kids have been being born in Uganda for a long time. Right. So, it worked out well for you.
Well, for us, even because Abraham was born there, he was given a Brazilian citizenship. And we had permanent visas to be there. So
by virtue of being the parents.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And so when I look at where we're at now, it wasn't a child that needed to be birthed. It was a company.
Ooh, okay. Talk about this company.
Yeah. So, you know, being in a closed area where you can't be doing work there. So we established kind of like BAM, you know, business as work, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so we have a community center and it's made up of, you know, a jiu-jitsu gym where we have kids classes, wrestling and everything like that.
For those of you who are listening to the audio here, Tim is a rather large fellow who looks like he could knock your head off. But I realized firsthand today does anybody ever call you a gentle giant?
Well, they could have called me a bear,
and then they die.
Teddy bear.
No. Teddy bear.
And then they die.
No.
Anyway, jiu-jitsu.
No, but I think the quote from the nice little lady that I talked with today, she said, he have big body, but cry like little baby.
I was touched by the Lord.
That was amazing. That was a powerful message today that he shared with these pastors, and just, you did get emotional at points, but it was so appropriate. I really appreciated it. But
you'll
cry like little baby.
Cry like little baby. So
my best Russian accent.
Yeah. So when I was in when we were in Brazil, you know, we had various fellowships visit us. Brian and Charlo came down.
That's what I was actually going to ask. Yeah. Did you have people come over and just kind of see what you're doing?
We had people like, you know, Brian Costa Costa Mesa was involved. We had even Joe Foch at the time with the high school group come down, and Brian, his son, and different people, guys that are in their worship, guys that we're connected to still.
Chino Hills.
In Chino Hills. John Randall was in Brandon at that time when they came down. But and also Rod Carver from
Corpus Christi.
In various, I don't want to leave anybody.
He's a good guy. I met Rod.
Chris McCarrick.
Yeah, Chris McCarrick and various people that like we were sent out of Calvary Corvallis. Who Robert Dyer was my high school pastor in Costa Mesa, and I actually went on a trip. My first mission trip was with Rob, and I was with Brian and Charlo, who was a little kid at that time.
Yeah.
And that was my first trip to Hungary.
Whoa.
And that was like in 1991 or two.
Long time ago.
Or 90, I think.
I shared with you, I when we planted the church in Washington, we had a connection with Pastor Rob and the church there in Corvallis. Awesome church, awesome ministry. I shared at a men's study there. But it's so great to see the stories or hear the stories. This is just my own commentary right at this moment of Calvary Chapel in those days when, you know, we were out on the mission field and different churches were so supportive. And I mean, I just love to see that happen again, just to get our focus on the Great Commission. We're all missionaries here, so we're preaching to the choir. But anyway, so you had that time in Brazil, an amazing time, a lot of freedom to plant a church, a lot of freedom to evangelize in what you did.
We became Brazilians.
Yeah. And you do you still have citizenship or no?
No, I'm just saying in our lives.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, but do you have the citizenship?
Our kids
still,
do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, good. Another passport. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny when we were in Uganda, our two girls were born there, and they had at the time they've changed the law since. At the time, they could either be U.S. citizen or Ugandan citizen.
Yes.
We chose U.S. but they said when they turn 18, they can choose to be Ugandan and renounce if they renounce the U.S. citizenship. Mm. And now I think it's changed. You can have dual citizenship there. But I forgot to tell Liana. Our youngest turned 18 the other day.
Aww.
Yeah. So Brazil is interesting. They call it like a syncretized place that have like different religions, kind of like a Catholicism, the Portuguese Catholicism, but also embrace a lot of other religions and stuff. And so there's a growth for evangelical or Christian, you know. So evangelicals can even have a bad name there because it's like the Word of Faith movement and all that.
Some of the little bit of the false teaching. That's
a
lot, right?
A lot, a lot. So and
people would ask me, "Are you a Christian?" And I said, "Yes, but not like the ones on TV."
You don't have to give me your money,
right?
Yeah. So that was kind of that thing non-threatening there, but just being simple, loving God and loving His Word.
Yeah,
and so.
The Calvary way. No, especially in those countries like that. I've never been to Brazil, although I've wanted to go. The teaching of the Word of God, the simple verse by verse teaching is so powerful. And those Christianized communities.
And a lot of countries, like even you've probably seen here in India, is that you see a lot of people that have a baptism in the Spirit experience they're from an Assembly of God background or something like this. But it's really beautiful because it's almost like Acts 19, like you have known the Spirit since you believed.
Yeah.
Because some places like in the States, you're like, oh, let's just teach the Bible. And then they're going to catch on to the Spirit. And sometimes that doesn't happen. They have to have their own experience with God themselves. But when you're going to places that have already had that experience with the Lord, it's exciting. And then they're like this open, like, I want the Word. And you're just like, download. Totally. And it's like the most amazing moment to do that, you know?
Yeah. So, Talisa, where do you live now? I mean, don't tell me the details, but explain this business and this living situation.
It was interesting.
We're curious. It's so mysterious.
Well, the thing, 23 years ago, we heard there were people hungry for God's word in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a gentle tug from the Lord. And then about 11 years into that, we heard about this other place, that there were people that needed encouragement. There were people that needed to know about who our Father is.
Yeah.
And so we, probably the scariest thing I've ever done was to buy 5 one-way tickets to a country I'd never been to, in the sense of And I didn't know if we'd be well received or what would be, yeah, it would be like, yeah, there, right?
And it's, I think I can say this, it's a pretty big country.
Yeah, yeah. And so we got there and the options were we could teach English, or we could teach English.
Yeah.
You know, those,
yeah,
seemed to be the options. And we didn't really feel like teaching English. And so,
yeah,
Tim had his black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which he got as a hobby.
Yeah, this, let me just interject. This is that when I was there, I kind of set aside sports, believe it or not. I kind of set aside sports after the Lord got a hold of my heart in high school. Mm. And I really, I mean, I was swimming and surfing and things like that. But I really kind of set aside wrestling. I loved wrestling at a time. I loved the football at a time. But then when I was in, like, speed ahead 10 years after that, I'm in Brazil. And Dave Rolfe or someone told me, he said, hey, Tim, why don't you learn jiu-jitsu, mm-hmm, there? Like,
yeah,
you're in the, well, that's like where it came from.
Yeah,
like,
exactly,
in the sense of Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Like, and so I was like, oh yeah, maybe I'll do that. So I just joined some other friends, and that's how it started, as a hobby. Uh-huh. And then I became, after 11 years, I became a black belt. So it wasn't like, right, oh, you're like a famous black belt or something like that.
No,
it's just like after the time of me spinning.
But we're not going to mess with you. You might not be famous, but we're not messing with you.
No, but I'm just saying, putting the time in. But it's like, then it's kind of like when we got to this place that we're at now, we were just kind of like, okay, what can we do? How can we stay here?
What are our tools? What's in our hands?
Yeah, you had to be creative.
The whole adage of like, yeah, the whole adage of that we've learned from Chuck and from other people, like, what's in your hand? But it's like that thing of like, what's my five loaves and two fish?
Yeah,
don't have anything else, but here, Lord, can you use this? And so that, based upon another friend that helped us design like bylaws, or how do you say that? Like a list of things to like submit to the government.
Scope, our business
this
scope.
Is our business scope.
So you have a registered business.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Fully foreign owned business, uh-huh, in this closed country, yeah, that allows me.
Do they
me-
know you're Christians?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we post things all over about the Lord and, okay, everything like that, but we're just not M's there. We're business people, even though I'm not a business person myself. Talisa may have more of a business mindset.
Yeah.
But we just like started to do jiu-jitsu outside of our house and have people over to our house for cookies and lasagna. And then we're like, well, we should do this as a business, you know, thing. And so we first rented our place and did this kind of like out of this two-story building. Then we had a bakery downstairs and jiu-jitsu upstairs.
So the business bakery?
Yeah.
Yes, it's all together.
Is it good? Good baked goods?
Oh, it's amazing.
Are you a good baker?
No, it's actually.
Prove it. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
The cinnamon rolls have gone viral. People will come in with their luggage,
really?
And I ask them, where are you from? And, oh, we're coming through, heading to another city, but we heard about your cinnamon rolls. So, and I firmly believe that if I wanted to give someone a hug from God, it would be through a cinnamon roll.
Man, that's quotable.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
Jesus loves you. I just don't know if he loves me. Here, taste this. I know that he loves.
Exactly.
I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but it's more of, than Chalisa says, kind of tongue in cheek, but it's really like the thought of these basic things that everyone has seen and tasted in the States or wherever.
Yeah.
But this place hasn't. And it's almost like them going, oh, wow, you know, this is unique.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it becomes like a neat thing.
A thing.
I met a man from Afghanistan 2 months ago, and I happened to have a cinnamon roll in my purse.
Just happened to have one.
And
you
he
never
felt
know
love,
when you're going to need a cinnamon roll.
Loved, and he felt
and
loved.
And we're friends now.
And he felt loved. Yeah. So to go back to prove her point.
Yeah, but for those of you listening, this couple, I've just witnessed them over the last couple of days, but they're just the friendliest, most welcoming people. So I'm sure you're effective in the country that you're in. But I love the idea of, I guess you could say it this way, church planting through business and relationship in countries that are difficult to do that outwardly and officially.
Yeah. And it's not, and it's really, I mean, I've wrestled with this and when I share this, I'm not saying, oh, I'm doing it right, mm-hmm, therefore follow me. I'm just going, this is what I'm doing and I'm wrestling. I don't want to judge myself, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:4, I don't even judge myself, right?
Yeah.
But am I justifying this? But it's like, we do a foreign fellowship on Sundays. And that's made up of a lot of Christian workers there. There's a lot of people that are from that culture that's married to a foreigner that is there, mm-hmm, that are there. And so we have a pretty big sized group that come and we go through the Bible. Yeah. And there's some mixed people that are there, mm-hmm, that are actually from the culture.
Uh-huh.
But normally we're ministering throughout the week. And Talisa would say maybe between 1,300 to 1,500 people are coming out through the week, coming to our bakery, coffee shop, gym, kids'
and
classes.
And you both are very, I know this about you already, are very relational. So that's happening.
Yeah. And so we have, what's so beautiful, and Talisa could say this better, is that we'll have, you know, atheists in this corner and pastors in this corner and maybe, you know, whatever, lesbians over here or these people here, but they're all coming for a cinnamon roll, for example. Yeah. And, there's still on the wall, there's still something about the Lord or whatever, you know, and we still have Christian music, and we tell, and our Wi-Fi password is Jesus loves you. And I tell atheists that unless you believe it, it won't work. So, you know, so it's going to tuck and cheek, but we do this.
And anybody that has, I mean, from the culture or wherever that has questions, they're going to come to the,
this is a thing. Actually, I have a good friend who is you brought up the word atheist. And so she is an atheist, and there was a situation that's kind of been happening over the last month. And there was not with me, but I was helping her with actually a Christian that had hurt her deeply. Oh. Yeah. And so I was counseling her and kind of trying to counsel this Christian on the other side too. Tim came to the rescue on that one. But my atheist friend, she said to me, "Thank you so much for receiving me as family, even though I'm not one of you." And I said, "Okay, let's just lay it out. I just want to let you know that I see every person as being created and loved by God.
Yeah.
And that is how I see you. And I can't see you any other way."
Yeah.
You know, and so
created in the image of God. Yes. It's like mind blowing for people. Yeah. Like, wait, you're not against me?
Yeah. So, I mean, like what we try to talk to, I mean, as everybody knows within Christendom, I don't know who's all in Christendom going to be watching this, but there's a lot of crazy Christians, wacko Christians.
There's probably some crazy people that listen to this.
Way crazy. Well, maybe not in this
I'm
group.
Crazy.
No. But I'm just saying, but when I say crazy, I mean like abusive, hurtful and all, et cetera.
Yeah.
So
ones that give us a bad name.
Pride. Yeah. A lot of pride.
I mean, any of us can add to that because of our pride, right?
Yeah.
So we add to the dilemma of people getting hurt and not wanting to come to church because, I'm going to get judged, you know, or whatever. The last word of rejection is going to be actually from the pastor up front, you know? And so God has done a work in my life and still doing a work in my life to kind of understand that, to be able to share that to people that you're not, God wants to accept you. And we don't believe that everyone's going to be saved, obviously. And we also don't believe in limited atonement. But it also, it shows that, hey, we think that maybe there's waste involved.
Yeah, but totally. This woman has her children in Tim's jujitsu program.
Oh, is nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. No problem. Okay. A couple of last words and then we'll
wrap it up.
We'll wrap it up. What are you hopeful for in this season, and what can we do to be praying for you? And even, dare I say, people who have an interest in getting involved in church planting and ministry in these type of closed countries. What would you say to them?
The door is still open.
Yeah.
The door is open. If you're willing to go, God can give you creative ways in which to be there.
That's a good, I love that.
Yeah.
Creative ways. Cause I was like, the only thing you can do if you go into these countries is teach English.
Yeah. But even that, like,
even that, like, I mean, God can use, like, we're not downplaying in teaching English.
No, but I thought that was the only thing. I barely know English myself.
Yeah, because some of the people, because most of the people, like, you talk about missiology and they'll say, you need to be, you know, in the culture and you need to be, you know, you need to be like, you know, empty yourself and learn the language.
Yeah.
And we are doing that. And it's a lifetime journey. But what I've gathered from the people that we're serving, they're like, why are you learning our language?
Yeah.
Just teach us English. We're
gonna
be happy
if you
do that.
Man, we're not using the principles that worked back in the 1800s or whatever. It's like
and plus
a lot of these guys are writing from a ivory tower in some university somewhere. It's like, dude, we've been out in the streets. We know what's
So what I'm saying that is I want to learn the language, and I'm still learning the language. Like, we learned Portuguese really fast. This current language is taking us a lot longer because we are ministering a lot in English, but we've seen people like in 6 months pick it up. We have people that are there right now that have come long-term with a good heart to just be like pouring into people, total servants. Like, that's the whole crossover in any culture. If you have humility and you want to serve people and you don't take yourself so seriously and you can laugh at yourself,
it's all
then
about
you're
going to
do great.
Amen.
You're going to do great.
All right, Talisa, any last words before we, man, I hate to end this because there's a lot of good stuff here.
I just think, if there's a young couple out there or a young person or an old couple.
Yeah.
You know, that the opportunity is there.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, pray and knock on a ton of doors.
Can anybody get in touch with you if they wanted to get in touch? How do they do so? Yeah, or support just, or whatever it is?
You're going to be our new secretary, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, for the next 3 minutes.
We'll connect them to certain people.
Jeff Guy,
with Jeff Guy. Yeah, just connect with Jeff Guy. You can actually connect, write us at, if you're listening to this episode, you're familiar with the CGN Cultivate Church Planting Program, cultivatechurchplanting.com. There's a message thing on there. I'll answer that message and get you connected to these guys. So that'll be the best way.
Yeah. So keep praying for us for this new venture and all the things that the Lord has. I mean, we have two mothers. Both of our mothers are widows now. And so we're praying about, we're going back to see them, care and all the stuff. Yeah. But we're also out of the country and feeling like this is what God has us for now.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Ryan.
We're going to be praying for your ministry.
Take care.
All right. God bless. Thanks for listening. The Cultivate Church Planting Podcast is part of CGN Media, a podcast network that points to Christ. Check out cgnmedia.org for more great shows and ways to support the ministry.